We are doing the Ein Yaakov. We're holding the second chapter of Brachot, Tetzayin Amud Bet in the Gemara. In the Ein Yaakov, it is the bottom of page Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar, Batal Demesayim Tzlutei Amachachi. Rabbi Elazar, when he'd finish his prayer, he would add the following addition. So we know that after Shmona Esrei, before we take three steps back, so we can add all kinds of things to our prayer. And the Gemara is going to tell us different additions that the different Amoraim added to their prayer, the different Tanaim, the different Amoraim, used to add their requests before God that they would say on a steady basis. Every day, after finishing Shmona Esrei, they would add the following addition. The prayer of Shmona Esrei, so that's intact. Our sages said, these are the 18 requests every Jew has to make every day. Then these 18 requests can encompass every need a Jew might encounter. But our sages also said that a person should make his prayer into a personal request for mercy, a personal begging, pleading before his Creator. So these Amoraim would add the following, and each one's addition was their own personal pleading, requesting of God for their personal needs. And Rabbi Elazar, when he finishes Shmona Esrei, he would add the following. He would say, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, may it be favorable before you, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God. Shetashken Bifureinu, what is Pur? What is Purim? Pur is a lot, right? Place within our lot, our portion, should be Ahava, love. So the first thing he asks for is that in his lot, in our lot, he's speaking in the plural sense, is there should be love. And the truth is that there's another understanding. The word pur also can mean a bed. And when a person is in this world, so he can hope to fix his actions and purchase a future. You guys know the famous story of the Gra, right? The Gra was about to pass away, and he told his students, look at how easy this world is. In this world, you pay a few shekel, you have a tzitzis, you have a mitzvah doraisa, you have another biblical mitzvah. I'm going to a world where I'll get payback for everything I've done, but I cannot advance anymore. This world's an easy world in that respect. It's easy to move forward. Now, how can one continue growing after he passes away? The potential for continued growth is one's children. Bra kara de'avua. The son is considered an extension of the father, right? So if a person has children, that the children are continuing in his path, so the children, our sages tell us, bra mezake abba. A son can give merits to his father. That's why children say Kaddish. That's why children can give charity on a fast day to help their fathers. And children are referred to as a bed, right? We say that Yaakov Avinu had a complete bed. All of his children were in the service of Hashem. So sometimes when we talk about the bed, we're really talking about our children. So Rabbi Elazar says, please, amongst our children, Vipurenu could also mean our children, our bed. Our children, our continuation, there should be ahava, love, ve'achva, and brotherliness, ve'shalom, and peace. What more does a parent want? Let them be at peace with one another. Let them grow together. Or it could be in our lot. What's he praying for? We should have peace amongst ourselves. We should have brotherliness. We should have love. Ve'reut, and friendliness. Ve'talbe givuleinu betanmidim. And there should be many students in our boundary. Our sages always wanted to have students for a few reasons. A, to continue the way of the Torah, to have who to teach. And B, because the student causes the Rebbe to grow as well. V'tatzliach sofeinu acharit v'tikva, and make us successful ultimately, that at the end things should be good, we should see what we've hoped for. V'tasim chalkenu began Eden, put our portion in the Garden of Eden. V'takneinu, and fix us b'chaver tov, with a good friend. Notice, what's a good friend? A good friend's the guy that's going to see you with your zipper open, and he's going to tell you X, Y, Z. He's not going to let you go up there in front of everyone and wait till you get embarrassed with someone else telling you. A good friend is going to tell you, hey, you got some food on your mustache. A good friend is someone who's going to help you when it's uncomfortable to help you, but it's in your best interest to help you. Safik sas, Rabbi Yazar says, b'chaver tov, with a good friend. We could be fixed by being fired from a job. We could be fixed learning the hard way, or we could be fixed learning the good way. The good way to learn, the good way to move forward in the world, is by having a good friend. A good friend stands by our side and says, hey, you're making a mistake. So fix us bechaver tov, with a good friend, v'yitzer tov, and goodwill. That's another good way to advance. If you have goodwill, so the yitzer tov drives a person to advance. Be'olamcha, within your world, v'nashkim v'nimtza yichul levavenu liyira et shemecha. And when we awaken in the morning, we should find that our hearts are inclined to be fearful of your name. A person could wake up in the morning and suddenly feel like he's overtaken with desire to go to Burger King. A person could wake up one morning on the wrong side of the bed and his desire is not to put on a yarmulke on his head, but rather to give up on everything. So Rabbi Elazar, he spent his life being a faithful Amora. He's a huge Talmud Chacham. And yet he asks God, he says, I know that a person could wake up in the morning and feel like he doesn't believe in it all. A person could wake up one morning and feel like, I don't have strength for all of this. God, help me. Let me wake up in the morning and feel positive about my performance of mitzvot. Even Rabbi Elazar prays about that. So he says, let me awaken and find my heart seeking to be fearful of your name. V'tafo lefanecha korat nafshenu letova. And our needs should come before you for good. Bottom line, we're human, we have needs, so it should come before you for good. You should grant us our needs. So Rabbi Elazar, his prayer really encompassed the person's task in this world. He says, may we have peace, brotherliness. That's the first basic thing, right? Ben Adam L'Chavero. In order for people to advance, they first have to be unified. So he says, first let's advance by being unified. Then let's advance in Torah. Let's have students. Then let's advance that we make it to Gan Eden through moving forward in this world in the easier way, through a good friend, through Yetzer Tov. And he ends off by saying, let us awaken in the morning and find ourselves inclined to be God-fearing. Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going on to Rabbi Yochanan. He was the Amora of Bavel, right? Rabbi Yochanan composed the Jerusalem Talmud. He said like this, when he'd finish his prayer, he'd say the following, Yi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be the will of Hashem, our God, shetatzitz bevoshtenu v'tabit b'ra'atenu. Take a peek at our shame. Take a look at how bad we have it. V'titlabesh b'rachamecha, and when you see how bad we have it, so you should be dressed with your compassion. V'titkase b'uzcha, and cover yourself further with your strength. V'titatef b'chasidutcha, and wrap yourself with your extra piousness. V'titazer b'chaninutcha, and girdle yourself with giving free gifts. V'tavo lefanecha midat tuvcha v'anvetanutcha, and should come before you your traits of doing good and the fact that you're modest. What is God's modesty? The modesty is that God is willing to forgo his traits. Now, in essence, there's room to sit here and analyze each and every word that Rabbi Yochanan said. Because the evolvement of traits that Rabbi Yochanan described has deep and Kabbalistic implications. What does it mean that God should first peek at our shame and then look at how bad we have it and then dress himself with rachamim? We say God has a kisei rachamim. What does it mean God dresses himself with rachamim? Cover himself, a covering of might. What's that? So each and every one of these really needs to be analyzed. But being that our class isn't in Kabbalah, so we're going to have to go over it and just recognize that there's more depth here. Rabbi Zera, now I couldn't give a class in Kabbalah, sorry. Rabbi Zera, when he'd conclude his prayer, he said the following, Yi ratzon mifnech Hashem Elokeinu, may it be the will before you, Hashem our God, shelo nechta velo nivosh velo nikale me'avotenu. We shouldn't sin, we shouldn't be shamed, and we shouldn't have klima, is a different form of shame. We shouldn't have shame from our forefathers. So what does that mean? What was Rabbi Zera busy with his life? In his life, he used to do kiruv. He had a machon meir. But his kiruv, it wasn't just for people who didn't know. His kiruv was with people who were sinful, people who were reshaim. So he had to pray, God, help me that I don't learn from them. If you're going to try to work with people who are sinners, who are wicked people, so you have to pray that you don't learn from them. So that was his prayer. Don't let me sin. Don't let me be shamed. Don't let me be shamed for my forefathers. They'll look at me and they'll say, look at what kind of son we brought up. I know that until now I've been okay, but I know that tomorrow I have potential for falling. When there was someone who once started teaching, and they called Rabbi Feinstein, and they said, we feel like we're being exposed to things in the classroom that we never knew. The kids suddenly are teaching us all kinds of things we didn't even know existed about improper and immoral behavior. So this was a person who grew up in a frum home, and they had no concept of all kinds of things that are going on today. And I don't think there's a need to elaborate. They knew that people get married and they live their lives like that. They didn't know that there are all kinds of other ways of living in this world. So when students started coming and talking to this teacher about boyfriends and girlfriends and sleepovers and all kinds of parties where all kinds of things happen and piercing this body part and that body part and this language and that language, so the teacher came to Rabbi Feinstein and said, what am I supposed to do? I feel like I'm being exposed to levels of impurity I didn't even know exist. So Rabbi Feinstein said, when you teach, it's a tug of war. The teacher is walking in with values and trying to pull the students up. The students are walking in with the filth of the street and they try to pull the teacher down. And it's a question of who's pulling harder. So you just got to pull harder. Of course, when you're going to teach, you're going to be exposed to difficult and filthy things. You have to feel that you're strong enough for it. And you have to pray that you don't get pulled down. That's Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera was dealing with the filth of his time. So he kept praying, Hashem, don't let me be pulled down.